For Nora, Gus, and Danielle, my favorite New Yorkers. Prologue. Wednesday, August 30th, 1989. The police arrived early at Glover Memorial Baptist Church in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, lining both sides of Dean Street with blue wooden barricades. Sharpshooters in sunglasses and bulletproof vests took their positions along the rooftops of the boarded-up tenements that shared the block with the squat, tan-brick church, which had once been a synagogue. Bomb-sniffing dogs patrolled the sidewalk. Several officers were dispatched to cut a large hole in the chain-link fence surrounding a vacant lot behind the church, in case any of the public officials due to arrive there in a matter of hours needed to make a hasty exit. It was the day of the funeral of Yusuf Hawkins, a black teenager who had been killed a week earlier by a white mob in the Italian-American neighborhood of Bensonhurst. Yusuf's murder had dominated the news for days, the latest in a series of heavily publicized, racially charged incidents that had rocked the city. In late 1986, another young black man had been killed in a different white neighborhood in the outer boroughs, Howard Beach, Queens. Racial tension had been rising ever since, culminating a few months earlier when a group of black and Hispanic teenagers from Harlem was arrested for allegedly gang raping and beating a white investment banker out for an evening jog in Central Park. Amplified by screaming tabloid headlines like "Terror in Central Park" and "Wolf Pack's Prey," and by real estate developer Donald Trump's full-page ads calling for the execution of the suspects, the jogger story had turned New York City upside down. Against this backdrop, the murder of Yusuf Hawkins had instantly seized the city's attention. The political calendar inevitably lent it even greater significance. The mayoral primary was just 20 days away. On the Democratic side, Ed Koch was seeking an unprecedented fourth term. He had presided over New York's historic rebirth during the first half of the 1980s, but over the course of his third term, the city had completely unraveled, besieged not only by racial strife, but by crack, crime, AIDS, homelessness, and political scandals. His challenger, Manhattan Borough President David Dinkins, was vying for an even more historic distinction, to become the city's first black mayor. They were campaigning furiously and running neck and neck in the polls. Whoever prevailed would likely face a formidable Republican opponent in the general election, the popular former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Rudy Giuliani. By 10:30 on that late August morning, arriving mourners were passing through a gauntlet of men in red bow ties standing guard at the entrance to the small Baptist church, the security force for the Nation of Islam, whose controversial leader, Minister Louis Farrakhan, would be delivering one of the eulogies. The church could accommodate only 300 people, and the Hawkins family's spokesman, the Reverend Al Sharpton, had been in charge of the guest list. A year earlier, Sharpton had been widely derided as the attention-hungry puppet master of the Tawana Brawley hoax, a notorious wrenching episode in which a black teenager had falsely claimed to have been abducted and gang-raped by a group of white men. Now, undeterred by the scandal, or for that matter, the 67-count financial fraud indictment pending against him, Sharpton was issuing orders to the city's three leading mayoral candidates, as well as to New York's Governor Mario Cuomo, informing them that while they were invited to attend the funeral, they could not speak. Once they arrived at Glover, all four men were directed by the security guards to remain outside with the crush of spectators while the clergy and other guests took their seats. At a little before 11, Jean Griffith, the mother of Michael Griffith, the young black man who'd been killed 3 years earlier in Howard Beach, arrived and settled into one of the front pews. Nearby was the young filmmaker Spike Lee, whose third movie, Do the Right Thing, had been released earlier that summer, and the members of the rap group Public Enemy, whose hit single Fight the Power was the movie's iconic theme song. By the time the Hawkins family made its way through the knot of people outside on Dean Street, the air was thick and hot, the temperature approaching 85 degrees. Onlookers chanted, "Yusuf, Yusuf," as Yusuf's two brothers,